There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome into the program. Yeah, it is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Matt Eumanns as the Summer of Pauly Part 2 is underway beginning today. In 45 minutes, Aaron Renning, professional sports bettor, is going to be on the program. NBA Finals, now that Golden State is going to be a participant in tonight's Game 6 between the Celtics and the Heat. Paul Stone, we'll do some college football talk today with Paul Stone in 90 minutes. And Cabby Richards, Sportsnet betting host and producer up in Canada and Ontario. And we'll get his thoughts on what took place last night late in that overtime game between the Oilers and the Flames, the disallowed goal. No doubt there's going to be controversy now for a good 24 to 48 hours up there talking about what happened in that game. So the Warriors do advance, Matt, in five games in the NBA over the Mavericks. And, you know, I mean, the story of the playoffs so far, I mean, as we, I can't even say so far anymore because we're basically three rounds deep, plus another 25-point lead in a playoff game last night. That was the biggest lead in that largest margin of victory prop was 17.5. Over was plus money last night. It hit again.
Yeah, it's been blowout after blowout in the NBA playoffs, and I think it's been boring for a lot of people. But if you were on the Warriors last night, that's the type of game you wanted. If you bet the favorite, I keep thinking we're going to have a great game. Maybe tonight we're going to have a great game. Maybe tomorrow night we're going to have a great game. It doesn't happen. I can't recall many NBA playoffs over the past 30, 35 years that I've watched where it's been blowout after blowout, and you don't have any great games. Hopefully the NBA Finals makes up for it because I think if we get the Celtics and the Warriors, we have the potential to have a phenomenal series. Obviously, so far it's been lopsided in the East and the West, and I don't know how much three-point shooting has to do with it, Mitch, but a couple nights ago when we were watching the Heat and the Celtics, the teams combined to shoot 17 for 78 from three-point range. That's just bad basketball.
That's a little
rough.
You
can say what you want to, but they're both good defensive teams. At that level, the teams cannot shoot 17 for 78. You can't shoot 25% from three-point range.
No. And the Heat were bricking everything in that game. And they started 5 of 35, and at the time, that was the worst ever for that many attempts in a game by a playoff team.
Right.
They finished 7 of 45. So that'll tell you how awful it was. And again, that lead got to 25 points last night for Golden State. Clay was awesome in the game. He was the game's leading scorer, which, by the way, you could bet on. It was 14-1 out here in Las Vegas. And I did like what he said after the game when he was interviewed on TNT, and they asked him about, you know, the game overall and how it felt. And Clay actually, and he was spot on, because he had a lot of wide open looks last night. He goes, you know, I could have had 10 threes tonight. I left a lot of threes on the court, and he did. And he still had 32 points in the game.
He did. He shot 8-for-16 from three. The team shot 14-for-36. But the Warriors played one of their more efficient offensive games. They were 16-of-16 at the free throw line. 10 turnovers, not a bad number. If they play like that, they're going to have a pretty good shot to knock off the Celtics in the finals. I think right now they deserve to be small favorites in the finals based on the way they played so far through the playoffs. But I still give the Celtics a pretty good shot to take them out.
Whoa. Celtics got to get by the Heat yet, pal.
Celtics are going to get by the Heat.
Yeah. Well, you know,
game five is where the Heat had to step up and make a statement, and it didn't happen. They got blown out in the second half on their home floor.
All right, well, so you're one of many to feel that way. I hope you're right, based on Celtics future tickets. But even the Warriors are talking about who they're going to play in the NBA Finals. This is Draymond Green.
Still undetermined who you're going to play in the next round. Who would you like to play?
I mean,
be honest.
I think both teams are tough. Boston causes problems, especially offensively.
Draymond,
their defense is incredible.
How long we been boys, Draymond? I want the honest answer, Draymond.
You're asking me who I want to play. I'm gonna tell you who I think we're gonna play. We're gonna play Boston.
Okay.
That's
okay.
That's who we're gonna play.
Thank you. That's the Draymond I know.
We're gonna play Boston.
That's the Draymond I know.
I actually, you know what? I like it. I like it when a player says that. It doesn't happen very often. And he actually said, that's who we're going to play. That's who I want to play.
Well, he started off with the PC answer. Both teams are tough. Both teams are good. But Draymond Green knows the Celtics are 8.5-point home favorites and -410 on the money line in game six, and that the odds say they're going to play the Celtics.
Well, Matt, Draymond Green is also like 98% sure that as soon as he retires, within like the next 5 minutes,
on TV.
He's going to be on TNT with that crew. If he wants to go join Charles Barkley and Shaq, it'll take 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's the first guy that Ernie Johnson went to last night after the game was over with. He didn't talk to Steph. He didn't talk to Steve Kerr. It wasn't Klay Thompson. Draymond, get over here. I want to talk to you. Why? Because he's an amazing soundbite.
Yeah.
And he works really well on television. And that probably will happen. And as of right now, if we do get, and so you can bet on it today, this price will change because the Warriors do have to finish off the Heat yet, but the Celtics are catching +130 this morning in a potential NBA series finals price. The Warriors are -150.
Yeah, I kind of like my position here as far as this goes. I bet the Celtics, I waited too long. I got the Celtics 2-1 to win the NBA championship.
As do I.
You do too?
I have them at 2-1 and +225.
Yeah. I waited too long to make the bet. But still, when you go into a final situation and you have 2-1 on a team that's +130 for the series, you do have a little bit of value there. So I feel pretty good about the Celtics. I think they match up very well with the Golden State Warriors. If you think back since the All-Star break, the Celtics are the number one team in the NBA, number one in defensive efficiency, number one in most categories. They've been the best team in the association since the break. And I think that if there's a team out there the Warriors probably didn't want to play in the finals, it's the Celtics.
I think so, too. And again, that game in March that they played up in San Francisco when the Celtics won by 30, get it. Steph was, I think Steph Curry played 14 minutes in that game, and they got blown up by 30. I don't care if Steph doesn't play. But that's how Golden State can, I mean, they lost by 55 to Memphis. So they can have games like that. I think the biggest question is going to be, like, what is the availability of the entire Celtics roster, right? Like, will Marcus Smart be able to play a full series? Will Robert Williams be able to play a full series? Tatum looks banged up at times, holding the shoulder right away in game five.
Yeah. I think Tatum's got a little bit of drama queen in him.
A little bit.
I hate to say that.
You think Marcus Smart does?
Marcus Smart does as well. That's one thing I don't like about the Celtics. It's kind of like, was a Pat Bev said in a previous round, let's see who get knocked out here and claims a fake injury. Remember he talked about that name, Chris Paul. Then the Suns get blown out by 30 at home, and Chris Paul limps out of the arena with a groin injury or whatever he supposedly had. I don't like the way the Celtics play up the injuries. And I think the Jason Tatum's an incredible player. But in the game, I think it was a game three loss at home to the Heat when they got blown out, when he went down with the shoulder injury and he laid on the floor like he'd been shot. Mm-hmm. He rolled over, had to be escorted into the tunnel. And I was laughing. I said, this guy's going to be back on the floor in 2 minutes. I've seen this crap too many times.
And he was.
And he's back on the floor in 2 minutes, and he's ramming his shoulder into a guy on a pick.
To get to a screen.
On a screen, yeah. And
you know the broadcast crew called him out for that.
And Gundy did. Yeah.
That was the same game that Marcus – I actually thought the Marcus Smart injury looked legit because he not only rolled the ankle completely over, then he had a grown man fall on it right there, and you're like, ah, that might hurt. Yeah. And then he had to get carried off, and then he comes back a couple of minutes later on. I just thank goodness he didn't go out in a wheelchair like Paul Pierce many years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heroic effort by Paul Pierce to come back.
So not only, like, you bet on a daily basis, you talk to a lot of bettors as well. Do you know people who were grabbing the Heat on this game tonight?
I don't know anyone betting the Heat. Maybe Aaron Renning bet the Heat. He's going to be on with us at 4:45 this morning. I haven't talked to him yet. I would tend to doubt he's on the Heat.
If I had to bet on it, I would say probably not.
Even the dog players I know are passing on the Heat tonight. So that number has dropped at some places from 9 to 8.5. So somebody out there has got a little bit of money on the Heat, but it's not going to be me.
Let me ask you this. What would you need to bet the over? Because this number continues to drop throughout the series. A lot of reasons. First of all, lower scoring games and significantly lower. But a lot of guys banged up. Teams can't shoot. 201 now is where that number is at. That's up a little bit. I asked Paulie this yesterday. Like, would you go over 195? He said no. Would you go over 195? Yeah, would you go over 190?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I would.
If you drop that number to 195, somewhere around there, I think I would start to think over.
Yep.
In this game. Now, you're right about what you said. I think the score's been lower in this series. The offensive efficiency's been down because, if you think about it, the schedule has been game, day off, game, day off, game, day off. There's been no time for these guys to recover.
The guys were banged up.
The travel, guys banged up. You had the COVID rumors about the Heat for the last game, mostly unfounded. But still, when you got a lot of guys banged up, a lot of wear and tear throughout the playoffs, and you don't have any extra days to rest, you can see a lot of jump shots coming up short. That's why we've seen ragged offensive play. It's not good for anybody because it's been an ugly series to watch. I was hoping it was going to be a great series.
Yep.
But an ugly series to watch, it's been bad for the league. You've had games decided by the biggest lead in each game of the series, 20, 34, 26, 32, and 23.
It's been a really bad series. Yeah. Really, really bad. I do think that if somehow the Heat would pull this off, I think the Warriors would finish them off in 5 games.
Well, the Heat are so banged up. Right now, with Jimmy Butler beat up, if he can't be himself on the offensive end of the floor, the Heat are not going to be a threat.
Yep. The first hour of Follow the Money is brought to you exclusively by BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at the website, which, of course, is BetRivers.com. Matt Eumanns is in for Paulie Howard today. Up next, win some, lose some. Is college football making another mistake, or is this much to do about nothing? We will examine that coming up next.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. Bet Rivers has launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. There are CityCasts in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, LA, New York, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and now Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast. Aaron Renning is a professional sports bettor. Terrific. Betting the NBA. He's been coming on once a week now for a long time throughout the playoffs, and he joins us here early on a Friday. ER, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. I mean, here we are, just about the NBA Finals. Boy, it seems like these playoffs have really gone quick. I mean, it's just kind of crazy how fast and furious these games have come at us, and you know, perhaps if Boston wins, we're going to get a week off before we have the NBA Finals.
Yeah, the date is set, right? It's June 2nd, Game 1?
A week from yesterday.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, that could be a good news for the Celtics, ER, because we've talked about how ugly this series has been. I think a lot of guys are banged up on both sides of the Celtics Heat series. Really haven't had any extra rest days. You think it's going to benefit the Celtics quite a bit to have some extra time off, assuming they win this series before the NBA Finals?
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. I mean, obviously this could drag on another game, hopefully. For the Boston backers like myself, we get it over tonight. But, yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, I think any team could use the rest right now, but certainly Boston with Robert Williams and Marcus Smart, et cetera. It seems like it's been a pretty tough path for the Celtics to get here. And, you know, the finals is spaced out pretty well, so I would assume we'd have a lot better quality basketball in the finals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything for you on the game tonight? Celtics opened up 9. Total was hovering around 200. Now the spread is down to 8.5, and the total's up to 201, 201.5. What did you make the numbers, and have you bet anything yet?
You know, I didn't, and you know, I'm certainly happy, and again, just kind of hoping that Boston concludes the series and moves on, have them to win the Eastern Conference and the finals. I wouldn't be surprised that I would even bet them more in the finals if they win and get matched up against Golden State at some point, at least, looking forward to that final. So I would actually lean a little bit towards Miami. I think this line's a little bit crazy, but the Heat have obviously looked a little bit rough. But, you know, let's be honest, it seemed like Game 5 was going to be that pivotal game. I thought the Celtics were awful offensively in that first half. I guess both teams were at times, but Miami topped that in the second half. And, you know, to me, all playoffs long with Miami, it was about trying to stop Jimmy Butler. I mean, Jimmy Butler, the last two games now, 4-18, a minus 15 plus minus ratio, in game five, game four, 3 of 14 from the field, -30 plus minus. You know, he's not matching up against Trae Young every time down the court. He's not, you know, you have a coach that actually wants to stop them. Boston is so good defensively what they do. So these games have been ugly, but certainly credit to what the defenses have been able to do. But, yeah, lean to Miami, but, you know, I'm not going to bet it and hope Boston gets through here tonight.
So you are holding Celtics to win the East and also tickets on the NBA Finals as well on top of that. But you're saying that if they win tonight or if they win the series in general to get to Golden State and the numbers right, you would look at adding more on Boston to beat Golden State?
Yeah, I would. I mean, again, I've talked up this Boston team, and you know, if I feel like there's value in the number, I'm not going to go the other way and, sure, and try to hedge and get a profit. I'm going to look to bet it the way I see it. And I don't have this crazy amount that I'm going to win here with a Boston winning the finals or the Eastern Conference Finals at this point. But you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, but I think Boston's athleticism would give Golden State a lot of problems. Obviously, I like the Warriors. They're a very good team. They're good at a lot of things they do, but again, the athleticism for Boston. Be interesting to see how the Celtics would adjust to, you know, the offense, the motion offense here with Golden State. Teams have had a hard time with that, but yeah, I would certainly not hesitate to bet more with Boston.
How good is Boston defensively? And I wanted to ask what your defensive numbers are for each of these teams, because JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, was talking about this on our show yesterday afternoon, how the Warriors had allowed over 100 wide-open looks from three-point range during this series. The Mavericks just were not knocking down the threes. I see a couple guys out there on the Warriors, I want to say defensive end of the four, who are not very good one-on-one individual defenders. I think the Celtics can take advantage of that. Do you see weaknesses on that Golden State team on the defensive end of the four, and how good is Boston on that end?
That's just it. I mean, you know, Golden State has, you know, definitely some bad habits here entering the finals, and obviously I think defensively it is that perimeter defense, and we've seen that not only against Dallas, but I thought against Memphis as well. I mean, Memphis was able to knock down shots the last couple of games from three-point, but yeah, with some good ball movement, the shots have been open. And then you have to remember Boston has won against two very good defensive teams here in Milwaukee and Miami their last couple of series. So and they've done well and put up a lot of three-pointers. That's just it. I mean, you know, I think these final four teams altogether have been very good defensively. I think that's certainly had something to do with the ugly basketball that we've seen. But you know, Dallas, Golden State, Miami, and obviously Boston. But Boston seems to be the best of the bunch. And, you know, you just go back to the Nets series, Boston series, and this series, the adjustments, the, you know, 1 through 5 for the most part, 1 through 6, there's just not a lot of weakness on this Boston team. And you just kind of take that macro approach when you're watching this team and how they cover for one another, their speed and athleticism. There's just not much there. They did a great job. They frustrated Kevin Durant. They did a great job. They frustrated Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, those are the two most dynamic scorers you'll see in the NBA. So Boston's great with what they do.
Yep. I'll tell you, a game changer for that team, and if he plays in every single game, is going to be such a factor, I think. I mean, Robert Williams and what he means to this team defensively, and also giving them something on the offensive side as well, a couple of putbacks, some rebounds. Guy's been awesome when he's healthy and on the court.
No, he really has. I mean, just look at this series. You know, the game that he didn't play, that was the game that Bam went off in. But, you know, his explosiveness, the athleticism, Golden State just really has a hard time matching that. That's really almost throughout the roster to a degree. They just don't. And I think I mentioned it on your show, Mitch, you know, from just watching the first game from both these from Golden State and Boston in the Western and Eastern Conference Finals, I thought you could stagger it almost. You could see the difference in the athleticism from the two teams and really from both of those series. So, hopefully that would be an advantage here for the Boston in the series. But, yeah, that's something. And, Golden State, and I thought the Warriors had the capability of being the best defensive team in the playoffs from my player ratings. Again, they're very good with what they do. And, without Gary Payton, I don't know the status of Iguodala, but that definitely hurts their perimeter defense and what they do. So that certainly shortens them a little bit.
Yeah, agreed. You can follow ER on Twitter. He is at ER Sports One. Enjoy the game tonight, if that's possible, and have a good weekend. Thanks for the time, as always.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Yep. I must say, as Robert Williams has looked so good, Looney's done the same thing for the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Guy's been an animal out there, so that's a pretty good matchup individually there, if that's who we're going to get.
That's true. I think the Celtics have better – Celtics have more athletic guards who are going to be problematic matchups for the Golden State guards on the defensive end of the floor.
I agree.
That's what I see. Tatum and Brown are just difficult for anyone to handle.
Yep.
And I'm not sure the Warriors have the guards who are good enough one-on-one defenders to handle. They're going to have a lot of help. They're going to have to play some zone. They're going to have to do all sorts of things. We've seen some of that in this series. The Warriors had to play some zone against the Mavericks.
They had to.
Yeah.
And Kidd called him out for it. He's like, that's a compliment to us. They can't guard us one-on-one. So if they can't, if that's part of it, then how are they going to guard Boston one-on-one?
Hey, quick question for you.
Hmm?
Stephen Curry won the West Finals MVP award last night. Did you agree with that? And who do you think is going to win the East?
I absolutely thought Wiggins had a shot to win it. You can make a case for Looney, too, as far as I'm concerned. They gave it to him by default.
Who wins in the East?
I think Jaylen Brown has a great chance.
Right now, Tatum is the favorite and Brown's second choice.
I don't know, I think
Brown should be the favorite.
I think he should be, too. Yeah. The first hour of Follow the Money is brought to you exclusively by BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Get a 100% first deposit match bonus now with the code 250MATCH. Must be 21 plus. Offer is not valid in all areas. Check BetRivers.com for full offer details and rules. Up next, today's Major League Baseball card. And some numbers can be a little deceiving. I'll explain in a lefty versus lefty matchup.
Always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Check out the daily breakdowns and the game-by-game analysis in every sport. They do a great job over at winnersandwiners.com, including David Hess, who is great on Major League Baseball, including totals. You can get his free total today by texting VSiN to the area code 320 350 3500. That's VSiN, 320, 350, 3500. And go check out the analysis and the breakdowns in every sport at winnersandwiners.com. Matt Youmans today filling in for Pauly Howard. We'll begin this hour talking a little Major League Baseball. We'll get to today's card coming up, Matt. In terms of baseball overall, the Yankees tonight taking on the Rays. How about that lineup they trotted out there last night? And Cortez was nasty again. This is completely legit now, right, with him 2 months into the season, where, he might be their best starting pitcher. And I got to tell you, the numbers tell you as well, he's right there in the mix for the American League Cy Young.
He's been the Yankees' best pitcher. He's been better than Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
If you look at Nasty Nestor going into last night's start at the Trop, he was 3-1 with a 1.80 ERA, a whip of 0.89. All those numbers are better than Gerrit Cole. 12. He also had 11.2 strikeouts per nine. That's better than Cole. 56 strikeouts in 45 innings. I bet the Rays yesterday. I lost with the Rays. Nasty Nestor lived up to his name, and the Rays couldn't get anything off him. I thought it was the perfect time to bet against the Yankees. They had no Stanton, no Donaldson, no DJ LeMahieu in the lineup. Their top bullpen arm, unavailable. And the Yankees managed to score some garbage runs early in the game not early in the game, I think the fifth or sixth inning, on a throwing error, a wild pitch,
yep,
things like that. And they got up and won the game 7-2. That was a bad beat if you played the under last night, by the way. That was 4-0 going to the ninth last night.
It was,
And it got over the total. That was probably the bad beat of the night in baseball. But, yeah, I liked the Rays yesterday, and it backfired because Cortez has been the ace for the Yankees. And you can make a case that he's been the best pitcher in the American League.
So Judge was batting leadoff last night.
Yeah.
So you take a couple of those sticks out of the lineup, and that's what's going to happen. Now they get another, well, they get a lefty tonight in Springs, who's been pretty good for Tampa, very small sample size. I went back and looked at the Yankees versus lefties so far this year. You want to talk about a scheduling quirk? Mm-hmm. Boy, is this odd. The last six lefties they've faced, Zimmerman twice from the Orioles, Keuchel twice from the White Sox.
Dallas Keuchel shouldn't even be a major league starter at this point.
And Kikuchi twice from the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
So back-to-back, all three guys.
Right.
How often does that happen?
And Springs is probably the best lefty they've faced.
And what is that saying? I mean, again,
it's not saying a lot. But no. Jeffrey Springs has pitched 27 innings this season. Just by watching the four of those pitchers, I would say he's the best lefty the Yankees have faced, but he's not a Cy Young candidate.
I'm not going to fight you too much on that. Kikuchi's had his moments this year.
He's okay.
But you look at the Rays now at home. By the way, Tampa has been really good against the Yankees over, the past two or three years probably?
I'll give you some numbers here. The Rays, 11-8 against the Yankees last season, outscored them 98-50. The previous season, 2020, when it was an abbreviated 60-game schedule, the Rays were 8-2 against the Yankees.
Wow.
So the last 2 years, not including the playoff series that the Rays beat the Yankees in, the Rays are 19-10 going into last night and had outscored the Yankees by about 50 runs, more than 50 runs in those games. I thought it was a good spot for the Rays last night, but Nestor Cortez was too good.
Okay, so what do you think of the number this morning with Springs around $1.20 favorite here against Jameson Taillon, who's been pretty good so far this year for the Pinstripers?
Taillon has been pretty good. I still think maybe it's... I like the Rays here. I'm not crazy about the number. I was hoping it was going to be more around -105 for the Rays. That's kind of what I expected, but I saw the overnight was a little bit higher. Right now it's circa -119. Springs, I said he's got 27 innings pitched. He's allowed 15 hits. He struck out 27. Mitch, he's allowed only one home run. He's got a whip of 0.80. Nobody's really been able to hit this.
Yeah, right. Yet. Right. Solid so far.
And if the Yankees are still without LeMahieu, Donaldson, and Stanton, I got to take my shot with the Rays again tonight. I kind of like it. And Taillon's been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The Rays were 15-8 in the month of May going into last night's game. I still like this Rays team. And anybody who follows the Yankees can tell you that they have been dominated by the Rays at the Trop going back, I want to say, at least in recent years, going back several years. The Yankees have always found it tough to win at the Trop.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so...
And I think the Springs kid is... One of the better pitchers nobody really knows about yet, but we'll see. He's only got 27 innings.
In general, how do you find yourself betting baseball in 2022, which has been a weird year, but I think we say that almost every year in the sport nowadays. Are you betting more team totals? Are you betting first innings, first fives, full games?
I never bet first innings. I can understand guys who do bet. I've got to kind of train myself to think differently in terms of betting baseball. I've got to bet more first fives.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been a traditional bet the game, baseball better, bet the game, bet the total. And I haven't played enough first fives. And the last couple years, I've been trying to train myself to bet more first fives. Whether it's put a half a unit on the first five, half a unit on the game, or just bet the first five and not the game. Because a lot of times, my analysis is going to be based on the starting pitcher.
Sure.
And you don't want to leave your fate up to a bullpen that can implode in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning. So I think it's a better strategy to bet the first five. Now, last night, if you like the Angels, it didn't matter. Shohei Ohtani, I think the Angels were -160 for the game. Ohtani was -175 in the first five, and he got beat up in the first five.
Yeah, they got to him right away. Springer, a leadoff home run. Again, Ohtani gave up 5 earned runs last night. A couple of bombs. Did strike out 10, but they were losers as a big favorite last night. Yeah, I've been betting first fives now more and more over the last handful of years, and team totals, too. I wish it's tough to find first five team totals, which is another good angle to bet baseball, but not a lot of books have that out here in Las Vegas. I'm going to have a bet on a first three today, which you can find out here too, and a lot of other jurisdictions as well. So, and that's going to involve, two lefties are going at it today. Padres against the Pirates. This is going to be Quintana against Manea.
Yeah.
So when you look at overall, like ROI, how teams have been against left-handed pitchers, situational baseball, the Pirates overall, 8-7 against lefties this year, but the ROI, because they're going to be dogs in most of these matchups and a lot of times significant dogs, They are plus 30% with the ROI, and if you're betting $100 in every game, you're plus 463 betting the Pirates against lefties this year. The problem is they don't have good numbers against lefties. They're 20th in OPS, 25th in on-base, 18th in average and in slugging, and I'll give you a breakdown of recent lefties they faced. Freeland, Mats, Smiley, Miley. So not a lot of big names in there.
Right.
Meanwhile, they take on the Padres. They are the best team in terms of a money team against lefties. They're 12-4, plus 42%. They are 9th in OPS, 4th in on-base, 10th in average and in slugging. And recent lefties they have faced. Ashby, they lost. They crushed Alex Wood and the Giants. Beat Rodon, although they didn't do much off of him, and they crushed Max Fried.
Yep.
So those four pitchers I just rattled off right now are better than any pitchers the Pirates have faced as a lefty, and the Pirates have been pretty good against them. I'm going to go first three and probably first five minus a half with Manea today on the mound for the Padres.
Okay.
It can get a little...
I'm not going to disagree with that.
I think one time through the lineup... You know, I will...
Because when you look at the Padres for the game, you don't want to lay $2.
No, I really don't. I'm not afraid to lay some numbers in baseball occasionally. I'm not a fan of laying in that range. I don't like to lay $2. You talk about that all the time. I mean, if you are laying, I'll give you an example. The Yankees the other day when Cole was on the mound, they opened up minus $3. He was bet to like $3.50, I believe.
Yeah.
So if you bet that game by itself and you lose on a $3.50 favorite, now you have to win a bunch of games just to get that one back.
You basically got to win your next five games to get back a little bit ahead.
Pretty much. It's tough to do.
You just lost 3.5 units there. That's why I always say you got to draw the line somewhere in baseball betting, and there's always exceptions to the rule. So I don't have a hard rule, but I try to limit my baseball favorites to minus 150. Sometimes if I actually love a matchup, love a game, I'll stretch it to minus 170, minus 180. But that's very rare. You can't lay big numbers consistently when you're betting baseball. You have no chance to win.
Mm-hmm. We talked about this last summer.
Seriously, if you think about it, if you're playing a high volume of plays in baseball and you're laying 120 and 130, that's going to make it challenging to stay ahead of the game if you drop some of those favorites. If you're dropping 120 or 130 favorites, and I know a lot of people who will routinely lay 150, 180, $2. Mm-hmm. It's just tough to do. Baseball is a lot tougher sport to beat than people think.
I will say this. You can't ignore one side of the betting sheet with favorites. You can't. But in baseball, my eyeballs gravitate to the – and in most sports, but in baseball, on a money line bet like this, my eyeballs gravitate to the dog almost always first. And then I'll come back and look at the favorite and see what it looks like. We had this conversation last year during the original Summer of Pauly when he was out. And we did this a lot. Like, we tapped out. We're like, we can't bet run lines anymore.
Uh-huh.
Every time we bet a run line last year, it's like it's something crazy would happen.
I haven't bet one this year. You know who's got a lot of value? Paul Blackburn of the A's.
You've
probably bet him as a dog a couple times. A's are a bad team, but he's a really good pitcher. You can get a good prices.
I had him this week against Robbie Ray.
Plus 165, right?
Yeah, plus 155 for the first five is what I bet him. Yep. The VSiN Summer Special is here for only $39. You can get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Next few months are going to be filled with the best betting content in the business right here at VSiN.com, and all subscribers will have access to all of it, including Adam Burke's daily Major League Baseball best bets, Von Tobel all the way through the NBA Finals, Andy McNeil, same thing, Stanley Cup playoffs, and lots of NFL preseason coverage, not to mention continued best bets and premium articles covering golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, you're going to get a daily best bet email every edition of Point Spread Weekly. It's $39. That's it, all the way through July 31st. Sign up now at vsin.com/summer.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees.
securities. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at callshe.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
VSEN, the sports betting network.
Bet Rivers is your home for betting on the French Open. Log in any day of the French Open to receive a 20% profit boost that you can use in any live in-play bets on the tournament. The top half of the men's draw is absolutely loaded, and it's shaping up to be an amazing Grand Slam event. Get your free profit boost today and every day at BetRivers.com or on the Bet Rivers app. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. We continue here talking college football with professional sports bettor Paul Stone. He's on Twitter at Paul Stone Sports. So again, for people just tuning in right now, Paul, go ahead and give us a breakdown and a summary of the 31 bets that you've made so far in college football, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I made of those 31, I actually made 21 of those at Circa earlier this week, 11 sides and 10 totals. And then I made 10 game of the year bets to this point, all on sides and all on underdogs. You know, it's not really my intention or my game plan to bet all dogs when I go in and start looking at the numbers. But it seems like that's kind of how it works out for me on the games of the year. So that's kind of my breakdown of those 31 bets, just a general summary.
Okay, there's an intriguing week one matchup. I believe it is week one. I get week zero and week one confused sometimes. But Arkansas, out of the SEC, they are getting Cincinnati. Of course, Cincinnati lost a lot of talent from last year, but they did make the playoffs. I did notice one book had the Razorbacks 6.5. Another book had 7.5. So, of course, you're not going to take the bad number there. But did you bet the Hogs minus the 6.5, or did you take the Bearcats plus 7.5?
I took Arkansas minus 6.5, and you know, first of all, I'll say the job that Luke Fickell's done at the University of Cincinnati the last five or so seasons there is one that I rank as high as any job any coach has done anywhere. I mean, he's a great coach, and he's really developed that program. But Cincinnati, like you said, they lost a lot of people. They had a school record, 9 players selected in the NFL draft. And 5 of those guys drafted in the first 2 days, in the first 3 rounds of the draft. So they've lost a lot of top-shelf talent. There's a lot more, you know, out the door than just quarterback Desmond Ridder. They're going to have a guy who was with the program, kind of oddly enough. Their quarterback will probably be Ben Bryant. He was at the program a few years ago, but he transferred out to Eastern Michigan when Ridder was clearly going to be the starter. And now he's back at Cincinnati and probably going to be the starter at quarterback. But there's a drop-off there. Arkansas, what Sam Pittman's done there now in his third year, the Razorbacks are just trending upward. I think 6.5's a little bit short, so I took the Razorbacks minus 6.5 over Cincinnati there in week one on September 3rd in Fayetteville.
You know, I want to throw another SEC team at you quickly. I quoted you in a column I wrote this week for Point Spread Weekly. I focused on Alabama. DraftKings put up numbers on seven of Bama's biggest games of the year and tied favored by at least 13 in each of those games. That does not include the week one game where Alabama's a 37.5-point favorite against Utah State. Paul, the win totals are going to go up, and they are up at a couple places right now in college football. You think Alabama's win total should be 11.5 juice to the over. So PointsBet right now has Alabama's win total at 10.5 over minus 225. And Caesars Colorado has Alabama at 11 over minus 140. Which bet would you rather make, and or would you bet them both? Because I think over 10.5 is almost like a free bet.
Man, I tell you, it does. Of course, 2.25, that's pretty heavily juiced. But, yeah, right. I really thought it would be. I think I told you I would make the line 11.5 juiced right to the over, minus maybe minus 140, I think, is what I came up with. And that is a little bit surprising. I mean, this is a team that's going to have a great offense. And, you know, they're Alabama. There's not going to be a huge drop-off there. So I might, you know, take my unit and bet half of it at the over 10.5 at minus, you know, 220 or 2.25, whatever you describe there, and then take the other half and bet it over 11, because I just can't see Alabama outside of an injury to Bryce Young, who, you know, it's hard to predict those types of things, how they can win less than 11 games in a 12-game regular season. I just I don't think they're going to lose two games in the regular season.
That's the thing, Mitch. You bet a lot of futures in football. Anytime you bet a future, a quarterback injury is something that could sink you if you bet the over. But that's about it for Bama. Yeah. I still think even if Bryce Young went down, depending on what point of the season it happened, Bama could still win 10 or 11 games.
Certainly feasible. Yeah. Paul, as you mentioned, you live in East Texas. You also know that program. Well, in Austin, the Longhorns up and down. Did you do anything with their win total at all? If you noticed that available anywhere. And then what about this game against Monroe where they're laying 39.5 points, or that was the opener anyway?
Yeah, I tell you, as far as win totals, I'm just starting to really work on those, and I try to do things right instead of do them quick, but there is a, you know, you do have to be expeditious in your approach. So I really hadn't hit the win totals as hard as I typically would. You kind of got to pick and choose. But I did play Louisiana Monroe plus 39.5 in this game, and I'm still seeing 38.5 available there at Circa this morning. So I like Monroe at that number. I mean, you've got a Texas team that has a lot of exciting additions on offense, and they're going to be a good offensive team. If that offensive line gels, gets even mediocre, they're going to be a great offensive line offensive team. They still have a lot of questions on defense, especially at the linebacker position. They're not a great defense. They're not a top-shelf defense. And they've got Alabama on deck after this game against Monroe. So you've got a situation where Texas could hypothetically be leading by 45 points late in the game, and Monroe scores that meaningless touchdown in the final minute, loses by 38, and you get the money. So I think it's just a little bit too high. I took Monroe plus 39.5 over Texas.
Any quick thoughts on Alabama as a 14-point favorite at Texas? That game's in Austin on September 10th.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Texas has a shot, but, you know, based on their recent history and how they fared against top-shelf teams, you know, I just don't know if you want to take Texas here. It's, you know, it's kind of a situation. Show me first, and then I'll believe. But you do try to get out in front of things like that. But there's going to be a lot of excitement in Austin. It's going to be 11 a.m. kickoff Central Time, which a lot of people in Austin are up in arms about. But, you know, if you're Texas, you got to play the game wherever they, whenever they tell you to play it, wherever they tell you to play it, and try to make the best of it. But Arkansas is so, I mean, or Alabama rather, is so good offensively. I was talking to somebody the other day. I don't see how Alabama is going to score less than 42 points against that Texas defense.
Yeah, well,
they're going to score more. Yeah. So, but that's going to be an interesting game.
Yep. We can go rapid fire here. What'd you do with the Georgia Tech Clemson total of 52?
I took that game under. It's still available, I think, about 49.5. Georgia Tech only averaged 22 points a game last year. They've lost their running back, Jahmyr Gibbs, who's transferred to Alabama. So I don't think Georgia Tech scores more than 14 points there. So I took that game under 52.
Very good. You mentioned this earlier, but the number that you grabbed on Cal against Notre Dame was what?
I took 17.5, the Cal Golden Bears, an offensively challenged team, but Justin Wilcox will once again have a great defense there in Berkeley. Notre Dame not great as a double-digit favorite. California, on the other hand, really has thrived as a double-digit dog under Wilcox, took the points there with California.
I like that bet.
Yeah, what'd you do with this Florida State-Miami matchup? Miami was laying 9.5.
Took Florida State plus 9.5. Mike Norvell's had his challenges the first few years there in Tallahassee, but they closed strong last year, and I think people are a little too excited about the Canes. I think 9.5 is a number. It's going to be lower than that the week of the game. I'm almost certain. I think it's November 5th. So I grabbed the 9.5, took the number with the Seminoles.
Do you think Florida State is potentially sitting on a pretty decent season?
I think they are. I mean, they've added a lot of players. I think he's got things settled down. You know, there's been a little turmoil and changeover in the program and the roster. But, they're not going to win the ACC. But I think they're a team that might be a little undervalued that we might take a look at early in the season. And that's kind of what we do as handicappers. We try to identify teams maybe that others might be overlooking, whether it be to the negative or the positive. And I think Florida State might be a little bit better than some people are anticipating.
Yeah, at some point we can have a deeper discussion into the new coaches and how these teams might look a little bit different. But, Paul, your quick take on Oklahoma and how things are going to look different without Lincoln Riley.
We've got like 45 seconds here, Paul.
I think it's going to be a considerable drop-off. I mean, Brent Venable is a great defensive coordinator. He's brought a lot of energy to Norman. People are really excited about it. But that offense has routinely averaged over 40 points a game each season under Lincoln Riley. And with the changeover in talent and all the exodus of talent, mostly to Los Angeles, I just don't think they're going to do that this year. They're still not a great defensive team. I think Oklahoma's a team that might fall off a little bit. And I think Texas might actually be the team to beat in the Big 12.
Great stuff, man. Thanks for the previous half hour. Love talking to you, getting the whole breakdown of what you had to do to get down these bets and some of the bets that you actually fired on. You can follow Paul on Twitter. He is at Paul Stone Sports. That's also the name of his podcast, which you can get wherever podcasts are available. Thanks, pal. Enjoy the Memorial Day weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a great weekend.
Up next, one of the best bets in sports. Got there again last night.
Follow the money on VSEN, the sports betting network.
First Bets wants you to get in on all the horse racing action. Sign up today with the promo code VEGAS1000 and receive $10 instantly and up to a $1,000 bonus. Visit vsin.com/horses for details. Use the bonus code VEGAS1000. Cabby Richards joins the program now. He is the executive director of betting content at Sportsnet up in Canada, and he lives in Calgary where, I can't imagine what the mood is like this morning after losing that game last night to Edmonton in overtime. Cabby, thanks for the time today. What did you think of the disallowed goal there that would have made Calgary go up 5-4?
Man, I'm on the fence, but no, it should have been a goal.
Yep.
I watched it, like Kevin Bieksa and Jennifer Botterill are on our network and they were explaining, they're former players, and they're explaining how it was, Coleman was looking at the puck and like directed it in. And then I saw the tweet from Brendan Morrison's like, there's no way to moving at that speed. There's no way to like redirect the puck like that. It should have been a goal. So I'm of the opinion that it should have been a goal because he was trying to get out of the way and, and it directed the puck. I mean, it was unbelievable theater. And right now in Calgary, Alberta, there's overcast. It's dreary. It's probably going to rain today. There might even be a tornado that rips through the city because the hearts have been crushed. The soul has been crushed. And this city, this team was one of the contenders. It was they were supposed to compete with Colorado and, in Florida before they got swept by Tampa, like compete with like the big dogs in the league to win the Stanley Cup. It's first since 1989. But we McJesus is in God mode and we're watching greatness. Like we're watching him. And on the other side of the bracket, you're watching Andre Vasilevsky be like this as this unbeatable force in the playoffs for the Lightning. So it's amazing. It's, I don't know, as Drake said it years ago, what a time to be alive.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, okay, let's assuming Colorado gets by St. Louis for the sake of this segment here. Would you give the Oilers more than a puncher's chance against Colorado?
More than a puncher's chance?
Or just a puncher's chance?
A puncher's chance.
Okay.
The defense and the goaltending is shaky. I mean, all season Oilers fans have been begging Ken Holland to get another D-man and or a goaltender. And Mike Smith has been kind of shaky, and it's, you know, he's a veteran, but like Colorado is so stacked, and I guess we can't really count out St. Louis because they got a bit of magic left in the tank there, coming down from 3-0 in the last game, and then, you know, winning. Tyler Bozak wins it in overtime. It was the Nathan MacKinnon game too, like on top of that in his own building. So I would not give Edmonton more than a puncher's chance if they face Colorado in the Western Conference Final.
All right, fair enough. It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Cabbie Richards, our guest, Executive Director of Betting Content at Sportsnet in Canada. Can you give, and you know how it works in the States, obviously, Cabbie, like the ratings for the NBA are four or five times better than the NHL, like every single night. And I wish it would kind of flip because the NHL playoffs are so much better. But like, the content that you guys do on Sportsnet, how much of it is geared towards the NHL compared to everything else?
Well, culturally, the NHL is the NFL of Canada. Mm-hmm. So our network, Sportsnet, leans pretty heavily into the NHL because it is a national partner. So even our stuff on SN Bets, you know, as the executive producer, I try to balance it because they're, you know, Steph Curry is going to the finals again, and Steph Curry is a massive star, and he moves the needle. The Warriors, even though we had some fatigue in those Cavs versus Warriors series, it was still fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I guess for some people, it was fun to watch LeBron get his butt kicked. But, you know, the Warriors are back without KD, and it's still that same core three, and we have, there's a Canadian, Andrew Wiggins. We call him two-way Wiggs. He's on the court, and he has a chance to win his first NBA title. But to answer your question, yes, we do over-index on hockey. It is the, you know, it's woven into the fabric of the culture here. So, yeah, we show a lot of hockey stuff.
Well, as you were explaining before during the break as well, you're like, man, I got to tell you, the Raptors up here because of the title and what they did with Kawhi, mm-hmm. Don't sleep on that team because they are ultra popular across that country as well.
Listen, the Raptors will forever live in the hearts and minds of people in Toronto, but like the greater, the country at large. And it galvanized the, well, listen, I don't know if you know this, but Canadians, we have a little bit of a little brother syndrome with you guys. So whenever one of our teams succeed, and we only have like baseball and we have basketball, we succeed in as the only Canadian team in a professional market. It means, even when TFC won, like it meant a lot for the city. It wasn't a national story, but bro, I was on one of the buses at the parade. I was on bus number 4 with Pascal Siakam. I was lucky to be there, and wow. I felt like there was 2.5 million people in the streets of Toronto, all different kinds of faces, all different ages. It was a beautiful mosaic. The parade was like three hours longer than it was supposed to. But my point is, 2.5 million. It was the biggest parade in the history of the city. I don't know if the Toronto Maple Leafs win the Stanley Cup, there will be that outpour of celebration. Like, the Maple Leafs are compelling because they have lost in 5 straight first rounds, and it's just like, and it, every year they break. Actually, I think people are used to the heartbreak, so maybe the heartbreak isn't as severe as it was mm-hmm. like that first time when they played Boston and they were up 4-1 in the third period in Game 7 and lost. So I think if the Raptors are on 1, it's like 1-1A, and then the Blue Jays, who also have an opportunity to capture the hearts and minds of people in this country, it's like a 1B. They're all pretty close. Now, I don't know about the TV ratings. I don't have those in front of me, but I suppose it's just like anecdotal and a gut feel, but the Raptors and Leafs are like 1 and 1A, okay. Very, very close.
I'm always impressed by the fan support the Raptors get in Toronto, which seems like it's off the hook. Cabbie, I look at the Oilers, and I think they got a legit shot to win this Stanley Cup. It's always surprising to think about the last time a Canadian team actually won the Cup. Do you know which team that was?
Of course, the Montreal Canadiens in 1993.
1993. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, listen, we know. We it's always a narrative up here in the media. A Canadian team trying to get wrestle Lord Stanley's Cup back to Canadian shores.
Yeah. Let me ask you this.
Canadians actually made the finals last year.
Yeah. Yeah. They were the biggest dogs in the round. They played the Golden Knights going back like 30 years, and they won that. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way. He's at Cabby. You have a couple minutes left here. So sports betting in Ontario has been, you know, legal for nearly 2 months. What are the biggest positives and negatives that you know about and that you get from like viewers of your show on Sportsnet?
Well, the biggest positives is that there's a lot of excitement around it, and there are a lot of options for consumers. So we are, the market is wide open, and there are a bunch of, I think there are 22 operators in there. So there's a lot of money, a lot of revenue being generated, and people are the people who are occasional bettors, and then certainly like the regular bettors are embracing it. Now, on the other side, betting isn't for everyone. So when there are, you know, FanDuel and DraftKings and Bet365 commercials in their sports broadcasts, some people are like, hey, this isn't for me. And we hear about it. And that's just, you know, it's the busiest time of the sports calendar because of the playoffs in NBA and NHL, excuse me, and the start of the MLB season. So some people is like, it's a bit overwhelming, but there's definitely a lot of excitement and enthusiasm that betting is like single event betting is here because that's what we've wanted for years. And finally, finally people in Ontario have it. And then eventually it'll spread to, you know, BC, Alberta. I think it's like the third province that will invite more players into the market. But I'm not exactly sure, but that's where my lean is far as when single game betting will expand across Canada.
Target date on that? Are you thinking by the end of 2022?
I'm hopeful, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't have the info in front of me, unfortunately.
It's tough. It's tough to track. It really is. Again, you can follow him on Twitter. He's at Cabby. Does a great job. The executive director of betting content at Sportsnet in Canada. You live in Calgary, so you're up early after that overtime loss last night. We really thank you for that today, Cabby. Thanks for the time.
No problem, fellas, and good luck with your wagers, whatever you make today.
Yep, you too. There you go. Okay, so
tough Raptors. 24 hours in Calgary. Lose that game last night, controversial finish, and a tornado might rip through town.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I've watched that disallowed goal a bunch of times.
That should have been a goal.
Should have been a goal.
I saw the highlight. I wasn't watching live, but I saw the highlight. I thought that should have been a goal.
Yep. I really do. I mean, you got to take into consideration like physics and how fast these human beings are out there on the ice. What else? How is he supposed to contort his body going for the net like that? Did he put his skate out there to kick it, or was he contorting his body to like not get injured? I think you got to give these guys a break once in a while. It's like the defensive players in the NFL; they get no breaks. Very difficult to play in pocket and. We had a very rare 8-way dead heat finish yesterday. Wait until you hear what happened to land on this tie.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with CallSheet. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to CallSheet.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at callshe.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?